Well, happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint, and I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And we have been in this series we've called Alive, where we've been talking about this big idea about how Jesus makes us new. And this past Sunday, we were in Ephesians chapter 3. It's kind of an odd passage in Ephesians because it represents kind of a digression of thought on Paul's part. And the digression really has to do with the fact that Paul is concerned that the Ephesians will be overly concerned about the fact that he is a prisoner of Rome. Now, what's interesting about that is that Paul doesn't call himself a prisoner of Rome. He actually calls himself prisoner of Christ. And so Paul's point in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 3 is that he's going to address the idea that their distress, it can do two things. Number one, it can cause confusion. Number two, it can cause discouragement. So Paul starts off by saying that his life's mission is to unmystery the gospel. So he starts there and he says, so here's the mystery. You think I'm a prisoner of Rome, but I'm actually a prisoner of Christ. And he goes on to explain that the reality of his life is that he wants to make the mystery of God make sense to others. And you remember Paul's story, how he was absolutely a murderer, a racist, against the people inside of Judaism and out. But God found him on the road to Damascus and saved him, and Saul became Paul. And God said that his mission was to take light to the Gentiles, and that he would learn how much he had to suffer for Christ's sake. And so this current imprisonment that he is experiencing as he's writing, he says, is part of unmysterying the gospel for them. And we talked about how we do that. So we talked about you do that through believers' baptism. That's one way that we can show that we are publicly united with God. We talked about having gospel-centered conversations about people just taking the opportunity to talk about God's activity in their lives and see where the Holy Spirit then takes that conversation. We talked about how a lot of folks do ministry just out of their own circle of influence, or inside their own circle of influence. And some of you are doing a great job with that. There are folks who maybe have a death in their family, or they purchase a new home, or they have a new baby. And it's not just for kindness sake. Certainly that's a display of the Spirit, but it's to kindness that we hope leads to a conversation, an invitation for people to either come to church or to come to know Christ. And we talked about an opportunity that we have right now to serve the next generation in LifePoint Kids. And so the reality is that your faith grows in the fight. It's not just tough that bad things happen when you love God, but it's really tough. It's discouraging that bad things happen because you love God. So the reality is that the more we try to live a consistently Godward life, the more that we try to be more aligned with the Holy Spirit, the more likely we are that things are not going to go easily for us. I know that's not great gospel marketing. We don't put that on a t-shirt or a Christian mug or anything. But if you're dating someone and you refuse to sleep with that person, or if you see the Bible's encouragement towards generosity and giving your money away, at least in biblical proportions, and you don't line up with that, or if you don't lie when it would be beneficial to you or your team at work, inevitably, if you align yourself with Christ, there are going to be moments where it's not going to be easy for you. And if you don't ever wrestle with that, you're probably not living consistently enough. Now, how do we deal with that when that comes to our lives, when there are moments that it's tough because we're Christians? Well, one side, you know, the typical answer was kind of that cynicism side. It's like, well, just take a tough pill, or, you know, keep a stiff upper lip. But, you know, the Bible doesn't advocate cynicism. It certainly doesn't advocate romanticism either. The Bible doesn't say, well, listen, everything's going to be okay, or every cloud has a silver lining, or any moment now, things could change. We all know that, right? Yeah, things could get worse. So the Bible doesn't say, well, just get on through it, or don't think about it, or everything's going to be fine and work out according to your agenda. The reality is that we skip over the idea that we tend to get discouraged in relation to what we are pursuing. And Paul's point in Ephesians chapter 3 really lands on this idea that as you pursue Christ, you can make it through discouragement with joy around circumstances in this world that we find are negative. It doesn't mean they don't hurt. It doesn't mean they're not painful. But when you're Christ's prisoner, you're not prisoner to other things in the world. And so the reality comes down to, are you pursuing Christ and the rest of life is just a hobby? Or are you pursuing happiness and Jesus is just a hobby? We will either see suffering that way as an opportunity to deepen our character, patience, humility, difficulties, or difficulties will steal your joy, and we'll find ourselves struggling and wallowing in self-pity. And all of us do that at times. We have to work our way through those things so that you and I can become heaven's prisoner. And if you're that, then anything you face in this world, any prison you face in this world, can become a palace. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to give you the opportunity to pray. Father, as we approach a new week, Lord, we just surrender ourselves to you. We put our lives in your hands, and we ask, God, that you would use them. And especially, God, in the difficult circumstances, we want to lean into those as much as we can. We know they're painful and hurtful. And God, we know that it's not always going to be, there's not always going to be an easy way out. And so, God, we pray that you would save us and spare us from becoming bitter and cynical, but rather, God, in allowing that to nudge us toward the higher pursuit of you and of your joy, and that, God, you would restore in us this sense of eternal meaning and purpose. Now I want to give you the opportunity to pray. Well, once again, thanks for joining us on the Drivecast. I hope that you see this week as an opportunity to walk with Christ, to live in his presence, and to shine his light into others' lives. And I hope you'll take the opportunity to join us again tomorrow morning. God bless.